All right, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time and open up to hymn number 179 for our final hymn prior to the message this morning, 179. Here's what we need to be doing each and every day, standing on the promises, not sitting on the premises, but standing on the promises. And we'll sing the first, second, and fifth. And we will stand, praise the Lord for that.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory to the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling sounds of doubt it bears our sail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Cause I'm standing on the promises of God. Woo! Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God on the fifth. Standing on the promises again, not fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, everybody now. Standing, standing. We're standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Please be seated. Oh, boy. Some of us got a little carried away on that one. And that's good to get carried away in the Lord. Amen. The Bible says to lift holy hands to Him. And I noticed that Jason took a step aside from his mom there. She was getting going, praising the Lord. And he said, I don't want to get hit. What are we, Baptocostals here? Oh, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that at all. We encourage it. Praise the Lord. We like to worship. We love to sing to the Lord, don't we? Well, folks, praise the Lord this morning for such great testimonies and a good time of worship together. Let's grab our Bibles at this time for our Sunday morning message. Let's open up to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. And we have a most incredible passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, written by the great apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God. And it's an incredible statement that he makes concerning you and me today. I'm so thankful that the Bible applies to you and me today. It's alive, amen? It's active and it's powerful, and it worketh in them that believe. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we'll stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. And let me ask you a question before we get going. Don't answer out loud. Have you ever been afraid? I've been afraid. My hand's up. Amen. Oh, yeah, yeah. We've all been afraid at times. We've all experienced fear in our lives. But the Bible has something to say about that in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look with me at verse number 7. Paul says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Beloved, I want to speak to you on verse number 7 as my text, the sermon I've entitled Conquering Fear. Conquering Fear. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the passage that is before us. And Lord, how I thank you for the word power found in verse 7 and verse 8. It's the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're so grateful that we have access to that power because we believed the gospel unto salvation. Lord, I'm so thankful for that power dwelleth within us by the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful, Lord, that the demon spirit of fear has been cast out by the finger of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we have nothing to fear in these last days as we see the world growing worse and worse, darker and darker, more and more evil. We're so grateful, Lord, that you've not given us that spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, peace, power, a sound mind, and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Father, my prayer this morning is that untold multitudes will hear this sermon and be encouraged in their walk of faith, and all fear would melt away and vanish into the perfect peace of the living God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. And look with me again in verse number 7. Paul says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's another spirit. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, beloved, everyone knows what it is like to be afraid. We've all been afraid at times in our lives. We've all had things that we fear. Right? Some are afraid of spiders, ladies. Some are afraid of snakes. Some are afraid of bugs. Some are afraid of, they have a phobia about leaving their own home. Some people are terrified of certain things that don't bother others. Why is that? Whatever the cause may be, the simple fact is that we've all experienced fear in our lives. And our message this morning is to every one of us. There are hidden fears that motivate us also. This fear of failure. This fear of failure causes many people never to start or try anything new, anything not completely safe in their own mind. This fear of rejection, where this makes us afraid to do anything that could draw criticism or dislike or give someone a chance to laugh at us. There's that fear. I could go on and on talking about various causes of fear this morning, church, but I won't. I want to tell you that there are two kinds of fear. There's good fear and there's bad fear. Hear what I said? There's good fear and there's bad fear. The fear of God is a good thing. Amen? Amen. The fear of God is a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That'll keep you out of trouble. That'll keep you from sin, the fear of God. But listen, fear that is good keeps us from driving 100 miles an hour on the highway because we might be killed, right? Fear of doing foolish things that can cause harm to ourselves physically or emotionally or spiritually is a good, healthy fear, right? But fear that is harmful, there's a fear that is bad, it's harmful. This is a spirit of fear. It's a demon. It's mentioned here in verse 7, and this fear paralyzes us. This fear keeps us from doing things we could or should do. Did you know that the devil wants to stop you from serving God? It's too late. He can't stop you from salvation. You're already saved. He knows that. But one thing he knows he can do is stop you from serving God. How? By putting a spirit of fear on you. Oh, I'm afraid to teach that Sunday school. I could never witness. I couldn't give out a gospel tract. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Don't fear it. That's another spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Perhaps there is a fear that you need to overcome today. Perhaps there's a fear that you need to lay at this altar today. Perhaps you got something that you have feared for years that you want to come to the Lord Jesus and lay it at his feet today and say, Lord, take this from me. It's not of you. And he'll do that. This passage, beloved, gives us some insight on overcoming fear. I want us to consider just two things this morning, and I'll be done. First, I want us to notice what it is. What is Satan's purpose for our fear? Why does he try to put a spirit of fear on us? Secondly, I want us to notice what are God's gifts to us for overcoming that fear? What are God's gifts to us for overcoming that fear? First of all, a Satan is a master at using our fears against us. He can keep us from being an effective Christian or a happy person by using fears against us, by putting fear in our hearts and minds. Now, he uses the spirit of fear, which is an evil spirit, to what? To make our lives miserable, to make us worry about foolish things, to make us fear things that we can't control. This can make one very miserable, whether you're saved or not. Let me give you an illustration. There was a woman back in 1916. Her name was Hetty Green. Hetty Green was called America's greatest miser. When she died in 1916, she left an estate valued at $100 million. That's like $100 billion today, right? Now listen, she was the richest woman. She was so miserly that she ate cold oatmeal in order to save the expense of heating up the water. When her son had a severe leg injury, she took so long trying to find a free clinic to treat him that his leg had to be amputated because he had advanced infection and gangrene. Folks, I am sure that she was worried and afraid about losing her wealth, so she didn't even enjoy her life. How sad. How sad. She lived her life in a state of fear and panic, and she was the richest woman in America. Isn't that terrible? Some folks worry about them, and they fear the most foolish things. Now, folks, listen. We all know people who are worrywarts. They worry about everything. They fear everything. Things that will never even happen, they fear. And they're miserable people. Fear will make you miserable, church. That's why I'm preaching this message today. I don't want you to suffer from that horrible affliction of fear. He also, that's his first purpose, is to make us, to stop us from serving God. But his second purpose, listen, Satan wants to put a spirit of fear in us so that it will make us ineffective in God's work. Many times we do not share our faith with someone because of fear. Because of fear. Listen, what will they think of me? We say, what if I turn them off? You're right, probably will. What if I mess up? Don't worry, we all do. What, they probably won't listen to me anyway. 9 out of 10 won't. Listen, these are common fears that Satan uses to make us ineffective witnesses for Jesus Christ. We, what if? Never mind the what ifs and look at the possibilities of the 1 in 10 that will hear you and will get saved, huh? Sometimes we don't get involved in service because of fear. I can't go soul winning. I can't help in the nursery. I could never be a pastor or a missionary, an evangelist, or a Christian school teacher. I couldn't do that. You know what that is? That's nothing but fear. That's nothing but fear. The enemy trying to stop you from doing what God's calling you to do. Fear can keep us from serving God. Now, let us notice Satan's method of using fear against us. First, he uses our past sins to make us fearful. Right? I know what you did in 1962. I know you got drunk and kicked the cat, you know. Well, woohoo, it's under the blood. I'm forgiven. It no longer exists in God's eyes. Yet Satan will use our past sins against us to keep us from serving God, to keep us ineffective. We get this mentality of, oh, I'm just a lowly sinner. No, you're not. You're a trophy of God's grace. You are a soldier in the Lord's army. You are more than a conqueror. Right. We're talking about conquering fear this morning. He uses, secondly, not only our past sins against us, he uses the possibilities of future mistakes to make us fearful. Well, you know, I might lose my salvation. How many people think that they can lose their salvation? It's too late. You've already been born again. You can't be unborn. Folks, listen, fear will cripple you. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will stop you from doing what God wants you to do. I'm so glad that we don't have to allow the enemy to prevent us from serving God. How does he use it? Thirdly, he uses the potential of failure. Well, I could never succeed in that area of ministry. I would fail. That's not God's Holy Spirit saying that to you.
No way. Fourthly, how does he use fear against us? He uses the certainty of criticism. Somebody is going to criticize you. Mark it down. And Satan will use that to prevent you from witnessing to that person. You know, folks, listen to me. The Bible says, yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not maybe, shall suffer persecution. Why? Because you're doing right. You're living right. You're serving God. And you're going to be criticized for it. You say, when I do right? Yep. When you do right, you'll be criticized for it. Because they call evil good and good evil in this world we live in. Folks, this is Satan's purpose for our fear, to stop us from service to the King. But secondly, this morning, what are God's gifts to us for overcoming fear? Ah, you're going to like this. I'm so glad that God has all the gifts we need through His Holy Spirit for overcoming any fear we face. First, listen carefully. Look at verse 7 again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, beloved, notice here that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us certain things. Okay? Listen, three things the Apostle Paul names that God has given us for overcoming fear. Look at it in verse number 7. First, He has given us the gift of power. Woo, I like it. You've got power. Did you know that most Christians do not comprehend the power that they possess within? Why? Because it's not your power. It's another's power in you. The Spirit of God is in you. The power of God is in you. And He, let me ask you a question. Is there anything God cannot do? No. With God, all things are possible. He's omnipotent. That means almighty, El Shaddai. Folks, listen to me. You've got a power source in you that is mostly, I'm sad to say, untapped today amongst Christians. Because we don't realize the power that we have. The power that we've been given by God. Through Jesus Christ, I can do anything God calls me to do. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Why? The power of Jesus Christ is in me. Now listen, folks. This means that anything God wants me to do, anything God calls me to do, I can do it. We have to change our mentality and realize what the Bible says. You can, and you can. The devil comes along and says, no, you can't. Liar. Do you know the devil is a liar? He's the biggest liar there's ever been in all of eternity. That's right. He lied to our first parents and got them to eat that fruit. Oh, God has not said that. God didn't say that. You won't die. It won't hurt you to eat the fruit. What a liar! Jesus said He's the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. He murdered the human race spiritually, the devil, by lying to them. Now, folks, listen carefully. He gives us five ways He gives us power. First, He gives us power to be saved. Go to John chapter 1. You know what it takes for the salvation of a human soul? It takes power. Not money, not riches, not wealth. It takes power. And that power is only found in one place. Go to John chapter 1. Watch what Jesus says in John chapter 1. The beloved apostle John says in verse number 12. Verse 12. But as many as received Him. Time out, church. Time out. Stop reading. Have you received Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes, you have. That's why you're in church this morning. Because you love Him. You've received Him. To as many as received Him, to them gave He what?
Power.
Power. Power. Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You have received power, and you're born of God. You're God's kid. You're God's daughter. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. You're God's son. I could go on and on. Why? Because you're God's kids. Because power saved you from your sin and made you a child of God, according to verse 12. You see that? It took power for us to be saved. Secondly, he not only gives us power to be saved, he gives us power to be a witness for him. Go to Acts, just after John. Go to Acts chapter 1. You know what it takes to tell another person about Jesus Christ? It takes power. For it to be effective, it takes power. And it takes power from the Spirit of God that you do not have. The Spirit of God in you has that power. Okay? We need to tap into it. In Acts chapter 1, look what Jesus says, verse 7, to his disciples. But ye shall receive what?
Power.
After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He says, you need power to witness about me, and I'm going to give it to you. Jesus Christ has never lied. He always tells the truth. He's given you that power. You can witness for him. Thirdly, gives us power to be saved. Gives us power to witness. He gives us power to be joyful. Go to Romans, the Epistle of Romans, chapter 15. I love Romans 15. It talks so much about the Holy Spirit giving us joy in the Lord. Look at this. In Romans 15, look with me at verse 13. Got to move quick. Paul says, let us, this is 15, chapter 15, Bob, and verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, how can he do that? Finish the verse. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul says here, and it's a prayer for the Roman believers, that God is going to give you two things, joy and peace, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, you know why people are so miserable today? You know why the suicide rate is higher than ever before today? Because people don't have joy and peace. They don't have joy and peace. You know why? The world can't give it to them. It takes the Holy Ghost to receive joy and peace in the heart of man. And look at that. In verse 13, he says, you've got it through the Holy Ghost. I love it. He gives us power to be saved. He gives us power to witness. He gives us power to be joyful. Fourthly, he gives us power to make us a strong believer. If you're still in Romans, flip over a chapter to chapter 16. He gives us power to become strong believers. Look at this, Romans 16, verse 25. Now, to him that is of what? Power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has kept secret since the world began. He says, he has power to establish you as a strong believer. Verse 25, see it? Power to establish you. Let me let you in on a secret, church, this morning. You don't have that power to be a strong believer. The day you realize that is the day you're going to cast yourself upon his feet at his throne and find the power that he wants to give you. Amen. We need to cease from self-effort and allow the power of God to work through us. Look at that. 25. To him that is of power to establish you, according to Jesus Christ. Wow. Why? He wants to make you a strong believer. Yes, he does. He wants to make you a strong believer. And he will. Fifthly, he gives us power to endure trials. Here's something we all need. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Past Romans to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He gives us power to endure trials and tribulations as a believer, which we all do. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Watch what Paul says in verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul was talking to Jesus. Yeah, it's a good thing to do that, amen? That's called prayer. And he's telling you what Jesus told him. What? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, my power, is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the what? Power of Christ may rest on me. Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. He says, when I realize my own infirmities, my own weaknesses, the power of Jesus floods me, my soul, and takes over in my life and carries me through my trials. Carries me through my trials. That's what the power of God wants to do for you. Carry you through your trials. You know what the problem is? We try to bear our burdens alone. You know what? I love what Samuel said. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. We need to keep that in mind. If you're trusting in drawing from, relying upon, believing in the one who has the power, he will give you the power you need to face any adversity, any fear in your life. Don't be afraid. Instead, use his power. But there's another gift that he gives us, and that is back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He gives us the gift of love. Look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Woo! I like this. Now, at first glance, it does not seem that love could be effective in conquering fear. But it can, it is, and it will. Listen to me. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, go there. I want you to see this verse. 1 John chapter 4. Look at this verse. Love can overcome fear. Did you know that? Watch it. He says, verse 17, 1 John 4, 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no what?
Fear.
Fear in what?
Love.
Love. Did you see what the Holy Ghost just penned through John's finger? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Let me ask you a question. The gifts that God gives, are there any imperfections in those gifts? Never. Never. Because that gift is coming from a perfect God. And the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from God, the Father of lights. Amen. With whom is no variableness, shadow or turning. He gives perfect gifts. So the love that he gives, follow me, verse 7, is a perfect love. Why? Because it's not yours. It's his. The love that he gives us is his. It's from the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And he says that love is shed abroad, comes out of our hearts to others by the Spirit which he's given us, the Holy Spirit. See that? He's given us the gift of love to overcome fear. Now, here's how this works. Two things we need in this love that he gives. Love for God and love for others. First, love for God. Beloved, the more we love God, the less fear we will have in our lives. It is a matter of trust. When we realize that God will take care of everything in our lives, it relieves our fear. My kids do not worry. When they were little, they didn't worry about having something to eat. Why? Because for all the years growing up, we provided food for them. We're their parents. They trusted me as their dad. Don't you trust your dad? Well, why should you trust your Heavenly Father? Why? Because he what? Loves you. He loves you, and that overcomes fear of not being provided for. They know that you love them. Now, they know that you love them. They know you'll provide for them. So they're not afraid about that. It's not an issue with kids. They know mommy and daddy will take care of them. This is why Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. If you love God, you won't fear him not providing for you. Love of God relieves our fears. But secondly, there must be a love for others. There must be a love for others in this gift. The more we love others, the less fear we will have. Love causes us to overcome our fears. Our fear for the good of others, rescue workers, ambulance drivers, police officers, firefighters, they all live a sacrificial life for others, these people. They live their lives for others, for the benefit of others. They may die, any of those professions I just listed, they may die in an act of service for others. You see, you've got to love people. Whether they're saved or lost, you've got to love them. And love them to the Lord. But thirdly, there's another gift back in our text. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he gives us the gift of power. He gives us the gift of love. But he also gives us the gift of a sound mind. Oh, do I like this. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Now, let me give you a quick illustration. When I was in the Navy, I was 17 years old. I was a little runt in the Navy. And I was the small guy, so I was chosen. I was a hull take. Pastor will get a kick out of this. I was a hull take. A hull tech maintenance technician. I was a ship fitter. That's the new verbiage. A hull maintenance technician. Well, one of my duties was to take the soundings. There's sounding tubes in every Navy vessel. Sounding tubes. It's a pipe. It has a cap on it. You screw it off and you take a brass weight and it has increments of inches on it and it has about 100 foot worth of steel tape. And you lower that thing down the sounding tube, it goes down to the hull of the ship. Then you reel it in. And you take it up, and you see how much water is on that measurement. Okay, it's a 100-foot measurement. And you record it in your journal. You take your sounding. So you go to all the sounding tubes all over the ship, and you take your readings, right? Now, if like one night I took my sounding, you know, I never had a problem. The ship's not going to sink, right? And one night I take my my sounding, and I reel it in. And there's 4 feet of water in one compartment of the ship. I ran up to the bridge and I said, Captain, we're sinking. Now, we weren't actually sinking, but there was a problem. That one compartment, which is sealed tight, even if it flooded up to the ceiling, it wouldn't affect the ship because it's sealed. It's sealed off. That's how Navy ships work. You don't leave doors open. So he said, yeah, that's a problem. And he said, don't panic, we're not sinking. Captain's in control. Captain Jesus is in control. But this is a sound mind. It means without leaks. You see my illustration? It's not leaking. There are not bad things coming into that compartment. Why? Because it's sound. It's fit. Now, most of the time, our harmful fears are the result of wrong thinking. But something happens when we are saved and we begin to trust in God. Our mind is renewed. Amen? Romans 12:2, don't go there, says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? And how can we do that? By the knowledge of God. Amen. The knowledge of God will renew your mind and make it sound in the ways of God. There's nothing like the Bible to make a sound mind. You remember the maniac of Gadara? And he had a legion of demons. Jesus cast them all out, didn't he? That guy was a maniac. He went around naked. He went around breaking chains. I mean, they couldn't control him. He was demon-possessed. But the Bible says that after Jesus cast the demons out, he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. He then had a sound mind. You know what he said to Jesus? He said, suffer me not to leave thee, Lord. I don't want to come out of your presence ever. He had a sound mind. And so do you, because you're saved. You've got the spirit of the mind of Christ in you. I'm so thankful for that. In my way of thinking, I may be afraid that I won't make it financially. But if I trust in God and accept His way of thinking, I will be most assured that He will take care of me. Listen, Luke 12:28, I got to move. Luke 12:28, if then God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today in the field, tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more shall He clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, God's going to take care of you. Don't worry, don't fear. Don't fear. Something else. I'm afraid of dying. You've heard that. I'm afraid I'm going to die. I think I'm dying. Folks, listen to me. The fear of dying is calmed by knowing, 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident and willing, I say, rather, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Paul was not suicidal, but Paul understood that being with the Lord present in heaven is far better than being down here on sinful earth.
Okay? You don't need to fear dying. Because you need to realize that when you do, if you do, you'll be immediately in the presence of the Lord. Wow! When we think biblically, we have a sound mind. Conclusion. Because of these gifts, God-given, devil can't take them from you. Conquering fear is not a matter of self-determination. It is a matter of dependence on God, whom we can trust and love. In Christ Jesus, you can conquer fear, any fear that you face. In closing, let me give you this illustration. In 1986, I knew a young man who was called to preach. And God was calling him to go off to Bible college and prepare for the ministry. And he didn't know if God wanted him to be a missionary, an evangelist, a pastor, or what. But this fellow said, I don't think I can do it. You heard that before? I can't speak publicly. I stutter. You know, every excuse in the book that Moses offered. And the guy went on to say, no, I can't. God, Lord, you got the wrong guy. You've made a mistake. You've called the wrong person. And you know what? Finally, that person came to his senses and got in his right mind and said, Lord, I will go. That person was me. That person was me. I had a fear. I had a fear that I couldn't do it. Lord, how could you use me? A bum like me? Yep, I want you. And God knows what. God doesn't make no mistakes. Listen to me. What am I saying? I'm saying whatever God calls you to do, don't fear. Just say, Lord, I'll do it because I know you'll empower me and you'll enable me. Conquering fear, Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that we can conquer any fear we face through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his name and the power of his spirit within. Lord, I'm so thankful for verse number 7. It says clearly that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you also for verse number 8. It says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That's how we can be partakers in the afflictions of the gospel today, according to the power of God that worketh in us. Lord, I'm so thankful for Ephesians 3:16 says, now unto him that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Lord, we love you this morning and we thank you that we have been assured this morning from the word of God that no fear can overtake us. No fear can stop us from doing what you've called us to do. How grateful we are this morning, Lord, that we're not without hope like those in the world who have no helper. I love that Hebrews 13, verse 6 says, Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says, For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear what man shall do. Why? Because the Lord is my helper. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to give in to fear. Not ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand for a time of invitation. And let's open up to hymn 174 this morning. 174, because of 2 Timothy 1:7, we love him. And we thank him for the ability to overcome fear. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth, folks. And the altar is open if you need it. Thank you.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Amen. Oh, folks are at the altar praying, seeking God's face, overcoming whatever it might be. Perhaps with an uplifted hand, every head bowed, every eye closed. With an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I've got something that I need to lay on the altar myself. I see that hand. I see that hand. Put him down. Oh, on this next stanza, feel free to come forward. Lay it on the altar.
He tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sin is perfectly. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Everybody now.
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below.
Oh, yes.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh,
how I love Jesus. Because
Lord, great singing this morning, church. Great testimonies, great worship, and great altar call. Lord, we thank you for meeting with us today. Lord, we thank you for meeting needs of your people. We thank you, Lord, for overcoming fears. We thank you for allowing us to lay those burdens, those heartaches, those concerns at your altar. I thank you, Lord, so much for ministering to your people the way you do. And Lord, we thank you that we've got the Word of God to back it up. Lord, we love you, and we ask you, dear Lord, to continue to use us and not let the enemy prevent us from by some fear from serving you, Lord, but pull out all the stops and say, Lord, I believe that I am more than conqueror through him that loved me. Thank you for that this morning. Lord, give us a good afternoon of seeking thy face. And also, Lord, tonight at 6, for those who can make it back, we pray that you'd bless us as we continue our studies in the Olivet Discourse. I believe we're in week 6 tonight. And oh God, it's just getting better and better as we study the prophecies of the end times that you foretold some 2,000 years ago. Lord, we're so thankful that we know the end from the beginning because we know the Bible. We're so thankful that we know that we win. We win. The devil loses. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. It can never, ever be altered. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The people said, Amen.
Amen.